Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
This is your current affairs program, The Rainbow Report, on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Doug Pollard here again, and tonight we have a miscellany of items, or perhaps I should say smorgasbord, because with registration closing in a couple of weeks, it's decision time if you want to participate in the World Out Games in Copenhagen in July. Malcolm Campbell of the Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne has the details. Lots of good things come from Tasmania. Copenhagen's most famous Australian resident, Princess Mary, for example, plus salmon, beer, wood pulp, and comedian Hannah Gadsby, whose show Kiss Me Quick, I'm Full of Jubes, or whatever the hell that means, is currently wowing them at the Comedy Festival. If you've ever wondered what it was like to grow up in Tassie, a little bit lesbian and accident-prone, with a mother who is slightly homophobic, or so she says, apparently this is the show for you, as Hannah will explain. A wake-up call for everyone who thinks we've won it all with the passage of the Rudd government's equality legislation came last week when a young man in Ballina on the far north coast of New South Wales was attacked by a group of 20 youths and thrown through a plate glass window just because he's gay. Ben Cooper from Community Action Against Homophobia explains why education is one of the things that's urgently needed to stop this kind of thing from happening. Corey Earlham has the latest update on the political front, with state attorneys general under pressure to introduce relationship registers so the Rudd government can keep its election promise of a nationwide system of registers, and why WA and New South Wales appear to be holding out, although the latest news I have is that New South Wales may be caving in on that one. And finally, Kay Sirrah will take time out from her busy schedule, what with walking tours and public debates. Our resident diva is much in demand at the moment. To go a little deeper than just rummaging around beneath the bonnet this week, she's taking a look under her girdle. In the studio tonight, to keep my ego in check, ask the curly questions and generally liven up the proceedings, are Cathy Anderson. Good evening, Cathy.
Oh, good evening, Doug. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks. You were fired up and ready to go?
I am. Look, I went to see Missy Higgins on the weekend, so my life is complete.
Oh.
Yeah, so anything else is just icing on the cake.
And also Ron Thiel. Hello, Ron. You've been out with the hippies, I gather.
I have indeed, Doug. I spent Easter up at Confest with the Peace and Love crowd. Delightful it was, too.
Ah, revisiting your youth, and several other youths as well, no doubt. And we begin tonight with a look at events in the political sphere with our regular correspondent, Corey Earlham from the Australian Coalition for Equality. We have news that, in fact, New South Wales might be coming on board with a state register. Isn't that so, Corey?
Look, it's interesting. For the first time since this has been discussed over the last 12 to 18 months, New South Wales is indicating that they'll work with the federal government at a national level on this issue to ensure the recognition of same-sex couples is uniform across the country. It's not a commitment they're going to introduce it, and it's very interesting that they're saying it only a couple of months out from the federal ALP conference, where they'll discuss whether we should stop having the state-based schemes and actually put it into a federal scheme. So it sounds like a bit of smokes and mirrors to me.
So what's their problem been with a register, Corey?
Look, their state attorney general was one of the vocal opponents against last year's same-sex reforms at the last conference. He's not necessarily a friend of the community. That being said, they have moved and progressed on things like abortion and looking at things like surrogacy as well, which is positive, and lesbian mothers being recognised. But he's always felt that this is a federal issue, that the federal government should introduce a register and it shouldn't be a state issue. The federal government's always said that it should be a state issue. So
as usual, each side is trying to get the other side to do their dirty work for them, in other words.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're well behind the game, though, aren't they? Because, I mean, these registers exist in quite a number of jurisdictions now.
Well, there's still a minority number. It's only Victoria, ACT and Tasmania. Queensland's indicated that they'll look at the issue. South Australia has no interest. Northern Territory hasn't looked at it. And WA is an interesting bucket where it's actually the National Party who supports register, but not the Liberal Party.
Yeah, because we've got a bit of fundamentalist entryism going on there in the Liberals, haven't we?
The upper house over in WA is very controlled by the far right, particularly those linked with religious organisations.
Do you think events in the States are going to be on US states, I should clarify, are going to be on the minds of the Australian State Attorneys General, what with Iowa coming on board with gay marriage, Vermont coming on board with gay marriage, do you think?
And
New York's talking about it, and Washington DC's talking about recognising other people's gay marriages. I mean, this business about doing a register or whatever, it's just, aren't they a long way behind the eight ball here? Shouldn't they be talking about gay marriage?
What people need to understand is that relationship registers or civil unions or civil partnerships, they're all the same thing, but they're not a substitute for equal marriage. They're something different. In many states like Victoria and Tasmania, relationship registers or civil unions extend beyond conjugal or sexual relationships and recognise caring relationships. So if somebody wants to talk about civil unions and introduce them at a federal or state level, we would support that. But it's not designed to be a substitute for marriage. Now, unfortunately, some colleagues within the Rainbow Labor Party are talking about substituting it for marriage, and there are some people saying, well, if we give civil unions to the gay and lesbian community, they won't want marriage. That's a false dichotomy. People won't stop talking about marriage just because they've got civil unions.
No, I mean, it's just one of the range of choices that I think people want, isn't it? Because, I mean, Kathy.
Yeah, it was interesting on your thoughts on this, Corey. The Equal Love campaign has just kicked off again, and they're trying to organise one of the biggest illegal weddings to coincide with the Labor Party's national conference on the 1st of August. I know Equal Love's been going for a while and doing this kind of mass rally. What, do you think that's going to have any effect on the party or on what they decide with its draft policy on this issue?
Look, the interesting thing is that the Sydney-based Equal Love rally will be outside the ALP national conference, it seems, on the same weekend that they're running the ALP national conference. It's unfortunate it'll probably be on the Saturday, which is the last day of conference, and potentially this issue will have already been resolved. But if media covers it leading up to it, it could be an effective tool to make people recognise that the call for equal marriage won't go away. Even if you don't deal with it this year, we'll be back when you do your conference in 3 years' time. We'll be back and talking about it continually between now and then. And as Doug pointed out, the further and further delay they get around to dealing with this issue, the further behind the rest of the world we will be.
Yeah, but by the same token, though, Corey, I think we've got to face the fact that in Melbourne, particularly over the last couple of years, the numbers have been pretty disappointing at those rallies.
Oh, look, but the other side of that, Ron, is that you've got to realise that that's the only rally in the whole of Australia that's been running for 5 years straight.
I think my point's slightly different. It seems to me that it is just failing to capture people's imagination.
But my point is that it's not about failing to capture the numbers. It's about the fact that it's continually being pushed year after year. There are still people calling for it. Numbers go up, numbers go down. I'd expect being the fifth anniversary this year and the fact that they're doing an illegal ceremony will go up further. Previous years, they had it on a different day. They said it wasn't the right time. There was a lot of war rallies the year before. Lots of things affect numbers on the day.
Yeah, but by the same token, both of us know that there is quite a substantial push against having marriage extended to gay couples from within the gay community with quite solid intellectual reasons why. Also political reasons why.
I don't entirely think that I agree with that, Ron. I think that within the gay community there's intelligent reasons why you shouldn't only have marriage and why particular people won't choose to enter into marriage. But I think that the gay community unites on one point, and that is that Australians should be treated equally and there should be the choice for gay people to be able to enter into marriage and they shouldn't be discriminated against.
Well, they're actually two different arguments, as indeed we both know.
Yeah, I think the argument at the end of the day comes down to, it's a question, for me anyway, of equality. If something is available to one segment of the community and it's not available to another segment of the community, that's inequality and that needs to be dealt with. Whether I agree with gay marriage or not is neither here nor there. So long as heterosexuals can get married, then we should be able to too. I think, you know, there's an argument that could go the other way around and say there is a strong case for abolishing state-sanctioned marriage and just having state-sanctioned civil unions and leaving marriage as something just for the churches. But I think that's a step too far for any government we're likely to have in Australia in the foreseeable future.
And interestingly, Doug, that exact question was asked by the California Supreme Court, and both gay rights advocates and people against same-sex marriage in California united, saying, no, we don't want to abolish marriage. Only time I can remember that we're both sides of the coin about the same side.
Well, it's good to hear we agree on something.
Yeah, and look, the other thing that people need to remember too is that marriage isn't the only issue for our community. We need to be talking about a broad range of issues, discrimination laws, homophobia, youth suicide. We don't need to get wrapped up in this single issue that's been around for 5 years since it was taken away from us in 2004. And that's really important that people talk about the breadth of issues, not just one.
Well, talking of breadth of issues, okay, what other things are the Standing Committee of Attorneys General going to discuss that might affect us?
Look, the Committee of Attorney General, Standing Committee of Attorney Generals, or SCAG for short, as I like to call it, is talking about surrogacy, and today was the final day for people to get submissions in around surrogacy and looking at national harmonisation. And they're also going to be talking in regards to how they can better implement this state-based scheme and how they can harmonise anti-discrimination laws between the federal government and the state governments. So that's an interesting one that links in with the human rights consultation, because essentially Mr McLoughlin, who's on the Rainbow Report a couple of months ago, said he's looking for the report from SCAG to inform his decision about introducing sexual orientation and gender identity anti-discrimination laws in the federal screener. We've been talking about it for 12 years. There was a Senate inquiry report in 1997. Nothing still happened on it. So it's important that we keep pushing on that.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to have to leave that one there, Corey. Thank you very much for your time tonight. We'll catch up with you next week on the rest of these issues, and we'll find out what the Attorneys General have been up to.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, that was Corey Earlham there from the Australian Coalition for Equality. State Attorneys General. Going through getting state-based registers, harmonising all those, and then finally getting a national register. Is any of this going to happen, or is this just pie in the sky?
Oh, I think it is happening. But it grinds on, basically. Oh, no, but, you know, come back in 12 months, something will, there'll be substantial change. Come back in 2 years, there'll be even more substantial change, yeah.
I think they just need to figure out a good model, and then everyone just go, yeah, that's great, we'll adopt that for us as well. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone put in their 5 cents worth.
I know, but this is trying to get all the states and the federal government all singing from the same hymn sheet. I mean, they can't do it when it comes to running hospitals and things. What's the chances on a relationship register, which is probably not really very high on their list of priorities, to be honest.
Oh, well, you know, since the election of the sort of Rudd Labor government, there's been this outbreak of harmonisation. It's a bit like blue-green algae, but it's just been
marauding
over everything. Well, that remains to be seen.
A toxic bloom. Mm. I'm not sure Mr. Rudd would like to be called a toxic bloom.
It's one of those things. I mean, I know when you're on the show, Ron, we always have this discussion about whether the community actually wants gay marriage. And I understand what you're saying, Doug, that it is a matter of equality. I just think it's small steps, really, like a civil union. Let's just go with that for the moment and then see what happens with gay marriage. Do you know what I mean? I think we're probably pushing a little bit too far.
Well, you know, the problem now is that you find now that the people who oppose us in the past were all saying, well, let's give them civil unions and that'll be enough and they'll be happy with that and all the rest of it. But unfortunately, they have now seen in so many places, like, for example, Vermont, where they've had civil unions and they've worked for a while, and it's happened in European countries as well, and they have actually led to people finding the sky doesn't fall in, so they proceed to gay marriage. Mm. So now the people who are against gay marriage are also against civil unions because they think it's a step towards gay marriage.
Well, look, you can't be union givers in these kind of situations.
So maybe we should just, you know, skip the step. It's not a necessary step anymore.
I don't know. It just seems like pushing the proverbial uphill with this issue. It does. And I agree that equal love rallies, as well-intentioned as they are dropping significantly in numbers. Like, I knew hardly no one who went to last year's. It was a really poor affair and it wasn't very well publicised either. And it's not necessarily the fault of the organisers, but
it is a very,
you know, it's not
very,
picking up issues.
It is a very difficult strategic question. I just wish people would look at it from the point of view of us now being a very powerful community who are respected and who have most of their rights, you know, in terms of tax or superannuation or hospital care or sort of anything else. And I just think we've got to be really careful about taking this cultural institution off heterosexuals, the politics of doing that, when we've still got the opinion polls showing that they don't want us to do it. I mean, I think if we are powerful people, if we respect our position and if we respect them in a spirit of diversity, we have to be prepared to say, okay, no, we don't want to take it off you. If there comes a time when you give it to us, we will accept it. But I don't think we should be out campaigning using political capital to essentially attack a cultural norm of another substantial group. I just think it's really bad politics, and I think it's a no-win game for us, basically, because it's not where the rights are sitting. The rights are sitting in law. The rights aren't sitting in marriage. But anyway, that's the 30-second version of the opposition.
There's a dinner party conversation in 100 words or less.
It's bad politics.
Definitely. Well, you know, you're the expert on those sort of things. I mean, you were always the one for the political strategies and so on and so forth. And, you know, I respect your view on that. I'm taking a slightly kind of longer-term view, I think, and saying, you know, this is the ultimate goal. As I always put at the end of all my emails, you know, when the Pope marries her son to his boyfriend in St. Peter's, we can say we've got somewhere. That's called taking a very long-term view. We'll be right back.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
This is The Rainbow Report.
The Rainbow Report on Joy 94.9, and with me in the studio tonight, Cathy Anderson and Ron Thiel. It's odd how you used to be able to spot the gay boys at school. They were usually the ones avoiding gym and the rugby pitch. Now everyone's flinging themselves into sport with gay abandon. In a moment, we'll talk to Malcolm Campbell from Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne about the upcoming World Out Games in Copenhagen. Are these guys and gals really into sport, do you think? Or is it just about being fit for a bit of rumpy-pumpy? Can we take these international gay sports gatherings seriously as sporting events, or are they really just sex parties in sweatpants?
Once I sailed away, but I'm home today, singing Copenhagen, wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen for me.
I couldn't resist sticking that one in there. That was Danny Kaye there from Hans Christian Andersen singing about wonderful Copenhagen, that salty old queen of the sea.
That's what it was,
yes. Well, that's because it's time to start training for the Out Games in Copenhagen in July. I, for one, will be embarking on a strenuous regime of Danish pastries and herring, for example, and building a small shrine to Princess Mary in the spare bedroom. Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne President Malcolm Campbell, who's on the line now, is presumably taking things a wee bit more seriously, aren't you, Malcolm?
I am. Hello, Doug, Cathy and Ron. How are we?
We're very well, thanks. So, it's nearly time to close off registrations, I gather.
It is, yes. So, we're getting the last-minute spurt of enthusiasm for people to register before the registrations close.
Now, the actual games themselves aren't until July, are they?
That's right, but they have to close off registration so that it can finalise the sporting events and cultural events and the conference, because they have to then know how many are in each race and how many are in each conference.
Or indeed if anybody is going to come along for the curling tournament or whatever sport it may happen to be.
Yes.
They are having another, it's similar to the Melbourne Out Games that we had, it'll have the same format, won't it? It'll have a human rights conference attached.
That's right, but it's a larger scale format. With a regional one like the ones they had here in Melbourne, the Asia Pacific Out Games, there's a maximum number of sports you can have.
About
eight to a dozen or something, whereas in the world ones they can have up to 30-35, and so there's a very wide range of sports that people can be involved in, and Melbourne Knights and Victoria Knights are going there to compete in quite a number of sports. There's just one sport, I have no idea what it is, and I'd love if someone could tell me what it is. It's called floorball. I don't know what that one is.
Floorball? It sounds like something that you might do with a fitball, perhaps, a bit of aerobicise.
No, I don't know, but they've also got handball, and that's, you know, kind of like indoor soccer, standing up, throwing the ball into the net at either end.
Right, there's too many jokes for that one.
Yeah, but I don't know what this floorball one is. No idea.
So, Malcolm, I know you had about 1,500 participants at the Melbourne Asia Pacific Out Games.
Yes.
And I know that we spoke a while ago about this, and there's rumoured to be about 10,000 participants in the World Out Games. Do you reckon with the whole global recession, are you on track to attract that many people to Copenhagen?
Well, I actually don't know because, you know, I'm not involved with the organisation, but I think that, yes, the global financial crisis will keep some people at home, so it may not get as many numbers as they would have got if we weren't in such global strife, because, you know, everyone's not spending as much or going away overseas and things like that. But for the diehard sport people here from Melbourne, we're all going, so...
Well, one of them's in the studio here because Ron's going, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, indeed, two of them are talking to each other, Malcolm and myself. Do you know how many people...
I've just joined the Argonauts, you're probably aware, so I'm going there as an Argonaut rower. I'm also going as a front runner runner and also as a glamourhead swimmer, so on every day I'll be doing something.
I have seen you indeed lurking around the shadows down at Powerhouse on Albert Park. Malcolm...
Glad it's dark in the morning at 5.30 when we get there.
It is indeed. Do you know how many people from Melbourne and, in fact, from Australia are going to Copenhagen, roughly?
I don't know from Australia, but from Melbourne, anticipated numbers are not very high, 50 to 75. There's quite a few Argonauts rowers going, about 25, I think, and about 25 swimmers from the glamour heads. But from other sports, the numbers aren't so high.
It's quite an expensive proposition, though, isn't it? I mean, to get yourself over there, and as far as I understand it, Denmark is not a cheap country.
No, it's not. The accommodation and the cost of living is very expensive there, so you have to be prepared to pay a bit. But people who are going, they've, you know, planned to go some time ago. Because we're so far away on this side of the world, you have to plan those things. Whereas Europeans, if they were deciding to go, they could decide at the last minute and go, and they would pay expensive flights. And I'm sure they'd know people, you know, go and stay with Mary and Fred in the palace.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they've got a spare room or two. Now, Malcolm, I know, obviously, with the Out Games, we had a lot of home ground advantage, and we had a lot of strong teams, particularly from established clubs like the Spikers Volleyballers and the Melbourne Argonauts of Rowers. What do you reckon, you know, if you were a betting man, what teams from Australia do you reckon are going to potentially bring home the medals?
Oh, that's easy, the Argonauts.
Argonauts will, because they're the strongest rowing club in the world, in the gay world. That's my impression. The swimmers will do well in relays, and there'll be some individual strength, and some of the runners will do okay as well.
Is that yourself included? Because I know you're a bit of a hot foot.
Yeah, I will try my best. I've got gold to defend from the last World Out Games in Montreal, so I'll do it 4 years later.
This is actually quite serious sport, though, isn't it? I mean, it's organised under full international competition rules, and in fact sanctioned by the you know, by the various international sporting bodies too, as
they
I recall.
In Denmark themselves, they don't have many established gay clubs, so each of the sports are actually sanctioned by the national body for that sport, and they are being run by the national body with assistance from gay and lesbian participants. So they will be very professionally organised. I know that the swimming pool is a brand new pool that they're building especially for the Out Games.
Oh, sweet.
And because they don't have a proper standard pool there, and they will soon. And the track is being redone, track and field. It's going to be like a trial run for them to go for other similar sized games like university games or European athletics or something like that. So they're very enthusiastic, the Danish, and I think we're all going to have a really good time. It's going to be very well organised.
Well, look, they seem to be, they're definitely, sorry, but Doug to override you there, but they seem to be welcoming Melbourne with open arms, because aren't we one of 8 or 9 cities that are involved in the Out Cities Project, which is basically a showcase of our town and what's queer in Melbourne?
Yes, that's right. They are. They're very welcoming of Melbourne. Mm. Probably two reasons. One, because we had the Asia Pacific Out Games here last January and February, and also because of the Princess Mary connection. I'd say the Australian connection is there.
And also, and
you know, Australian things are a flavour of the month in that country.
Ah, well, earlier on, I asked the question before you actually came on air, you know, was this serious, really serious port or sex party in sweatpants? Someone's emailed in saying, sex party in sweatpants, so does that make chill out a sex party in the bush? You obviously haven't been. You obviously haven't been, have you?
Well, and other people do go on to party and have a bit of fun, and in an international forum with people that... they haven't met before, and you make friends out of it. Previous games, I've met people that I'm still in contact with.
Yeah, I've got another question here too, from particularly about that, saying, "Hi guys, I just want to know, is there going to be a second Asia Pacific Out Games? I believe there is, isn't there? Done in Wellington?
Yes, there will be one in Wellington in 2011. So all of Melbourne people I know that went to the first Asia Pacific Out Games in Melbourne here will be going over there. They've announced it as the host city. It's out there, but you know, it's not confirmed what exact sports are being held, but I'm sure they'll get themselves organised. They've got 2 years to do it.
Okay, and I've got one very, very serious question here. My producer Bianca is dying to know. She says she understands you've chosen a uniform. She wants to know what it is.
Okay, well, each of the sporting clubs have their own sporting uniforms for competing in, but QSAM has organised a T-shirt that Melbourne participants can wear when we march in the opening ceremony, so that it looks like we're all from the same place rather than from all different clubs or an offshoot of Sydney. And
that's important, yes.
And that's the usual thing. You know, a lot of overseas people think you're all from Sydney. But
because there are no other cities in Australia, let's face it, you know.
Rubbish. And that's available on the QSAM website, queersportsmelbourne.org. So if your listeners would like to have a look at that, they could go to the website, check it out, and other participants would hope that they would buy one as well.
Is that also where they can get information on how to register?
Yes, you go to our website, and it has links to the Copenhagen website as well. So, yes, you can find that information from our website and links to the Copenhagen website.
So, Malcolm, the situation of people who are you know, just happen to find themselves in Copenhagen, or their partners of competitors and stuff like that, do they have to register, or can they just turn up and enjoy the fun?
No, they can just turn up and enjoy the fun.
Well, I'm sure quite a number of us will. Certainly won't be including me, but I'm sure a lot of other people will. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your time tonight, Malcolm. And best of luck in all your events. I've no doubt we'll talk again before you go anyway.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Ron.
Okay. That was Malcolm Campbell from Queer Sports Alliance Melbourne. Okay. We're going to take a little break now. When we get back, Hannah Gadsby will explain all about being a little bit lesbian in Tasmania. And Kay Sera will tell us all about buying a corset from the Dipper. We'll be right back.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. If you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Informing, entertaining and provoking, this is the Rainbow Report.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the assistance of Cathy Anderson and Ron Thiel. Now, we were going to talk to Hannah Gadsby, but I gather she's still on stage. She hasn't finished her early act yet, so we're going to have another go at getting to her. In the meantime, we're not without our resources here. Magda Subansky went and joined Weight Watchers. Mikey Robbins had lap band surgery. But Kay Sera has been looking into a much older technology for reshaping her silhouette, the corset, or as the Americans call it, the girdle.
Dad, I'm not sure about the old reference there, Doug, but we do the best we can. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Yes, I've taken the Lord's name in vain, and yes, I've signed a petition in support of Reverend Peter Kennedy, whose rather sensible interpretation of the liturgy has pissed off the Archbishop of Brisbane. God forbid we should allow women in the pulpit, or bless same-sex unions for that matter. Don't get me started. No, Father, it's much, much, much worse. I know you will find this hard to believe, but I confess, my slender hourglass figure is not completely natural. In fact, if it weren't for the wonders of modern science, I might look like I've indulged in just a few too many cream puffs. Hello, Doug. Relax, Father. It's not like I've had liposuction or anything silly like that. And it's not like I've been sneaking off to the local gym. Please, I gave up exercise when the dance floor stopped lighting up in the 70s. Yes, that's an old joke, but it's mine. It's the only one I've got and I'm sticking to it. No, it is with deep humility that I confess I have succumbed to peer group pressure and invested in Lycra undies. There, I said it. Que sera, where's a girdle? I've dubbed said undergarment Gertie, and she really is a miracle. And, you know, you really haven't lived until you've been out shopping for a serious tummy-tuck girdle. I don't want to turn this into a commercial zone. I'll leave that up to my best mate, Kerri-Ann Kennelly, who, as it turns out, gave me the red-hot tip for this girdle. I remember that was over a half a dozen shandies one wicked weekend at the Windsor Hotel. Anyway, not sure where Kerri-Ann gets hers, but I purchased my Gertie from a rather famous shop in Richmond, which sounds like Jimmy, only with a D. I'll never forget the big day. There I was, swanning around the ladies' lingerie department, trying not to be too conspicuous, when I was set upon by a rather sullen madam by the name of June. And not to give false impressions, but June was just a little bit too much like Mrs. Slocum in Are You Being Served? You know, the British TV show in the 70s. You remember Mrs. Slocum? It's a wonder I'm here at all. My pussy got soaking wet and I had to dry it out in front of the fire before I left. Are You Being Served, Mr. Humphreys? You know, the one I'm talking about. Where would the Western world be without an innuendo? Where would I be without innuendos? Now, while dear June didn't have mauve hair, she did have a curly upper lip and an arch brow that left me in no doubt that she knew exactly what I should do with my sagging tummy. Can I help, she said, sucking on a minty and simultaneously mastering a rather fabulous cat's bum. Yes, I need a little support, I said, patting my tummy. I've got just the thing, she said, spinning on her heels and marching off in the direction of the Fuller figure wear. Well, long story not so short, June and I must have tried on at least 20-odd Lycra lunch packers before we settled on a rather nifty number dubbed the Boneless Wonder. And what results! My sagging middle-aged midriff has been transformed into a sturdy three-pack worthy of the mother of all aerobic activity, Madonna. Bless her lady's pummeled thighs. And to think I didn't even have to slaughter a single whale to achieve the perfect hourglass figure. Although I fear the world population of Lycras is fast diminishing as ladies of my disposition take the sensible modern option. I'm Kay Sarar, and like I was saying, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Well, Lycra is so funny.
I thought it was funny when I wrote it.
Well, Kay, I have a question on the girdle front.
Yes, Doug.
So technically, because I actually have missed out on this particular, you know, feminine charm in my life, and don't look at my midriff like that. Cheeky git. If you're pushing something in, yes, does it push up or down? Are you just redistributing, or are you caving in?
I don't know where it all goes. That's a very, well, it's not like it's solid mass unless you've had a very large dinner the night before. But no, it just compresses. But you could, you can actually get some that do push up into the chest.
And give you a bit, yes, more. Do you get a bit, yeah, more bust? No, I would be up for that.
At this stage in my career, the only problem is my tummy, which is just a little bit.
Very much depends.
Anyway, like I was saying to my friend the other day, my body is very unpublic.
Very much depends on the lacing strategy. I think if you strap the poor girl up by her wrists and let her hang and put one foot at the base of the girdle and start tightening from the bottom, which incidentally requires an enormous amount of strength, it does actually squeeze the body matter up a bit like a tube of toothpaste.
Yes, and some of it does actually get squeezed sort of like up under into your rib cage if your garment goes high enough off.
Up enough.
Yeah, every cavity is
they do work.
I remember the landlady of a pub I used to go to in London years and years ago, and she was obviously a great believer in foundation garments, even though she was an extremely large lady and had squeezed everything up so far that her boobs kind of sat on a shelf on top, as it were.
Nice. It was just somewhere to rest her cherry.
Not a good look. No, that's where she used to put her tips.
You keep your hands off her cherry.
Sherry.
Oh, Sherry. Sherry.
Yes.
We'll be hearing about Sherry. Mrs. Slocum's pussy soon.
Oh, dear. Let's remind ourselves, this is the Rainbow Report.
What show
report.
Is this?
This is the Rainbow Report, yes, believe it or not. However, we've been having a few kind of what we politely call technical difficulties here. We couldn't get hold of the man in Queensland, and now we can't find Hannah Gadsby. So, I think we may have found Hannah Gadsby.
I was going to say, I've seen her show, so I could probably just,
Well, so is,
in.
So is Kay. So,
I saw her show. I thought it was brilliant.
Bloody funny.
Well, we're talking to somebody on the phone right now. Would that be Hannah Gadsby there on the phone?
Yes, it is.
Hello there. Have we just dragged you off stage?
Yes, literally, yes.
It's so, the power of the Rainbow Report.
It's the power of the Rainbow Report, indeed. So how's it all going?
Oh, very busy. Very busy indeed, but
you're
good.
You're doing lots of shows, aren't you? You're doing three shows, as far
three
as I can
shows.
Work out.
Three shows.
Now tell us, what is this bit about being a little bit lesbian? How can you be a little bit lesbian?
Well, I don't know. I just think it sounds funny. and I like alliteration. And, it's my way of saying that's not all that I'm about.
Yes, I mean, being a Tasmanian semi-lesbian,
Not semi, just a little bit.
a little bit.
Yeah, people might see wholeheartedly, but a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Because some people might see that as a handicap, but you're obviously turning it into a strength.
Yeah. I've got a lot of handicap/strength.
And what's this about your semi-homophobic mother, or partly homophobic mother?
Partly. She's not completely. She's just, she's got beautiful small town ignorance where she says all the wrong things but means the right things.
Yeah, because that's where you get the name of one of your shows from, isn't it? How does it go?
My show is called Kiss Me Quick, I'm Full of Jubes.
Now, what on earth does that mean?
That's what my mum says when she sees someone she thinks is gay.
I see. I thought my mother had a monopoly on saying weird things that nobody else understood, but she's obviously a spiritual sister to yours.
Yeah, she goes, oh, he's a little bit kiss me quick, I'm full of jokes.
Well, no one's ever said that to me, so...
Well, I don't think she says it to them.
Oh, well, that's perhaps just as well.
Yeah.
Now, do you see this as kind of, we're sort of supposed to be a serious show here and we talk about politics and things. Do you think comedy can actually help change people's minds about, the way they think about people of different sexualities?
I like to think so, yes. I've actually had the pleasant experience of performing in a lot of bogan areas. And I think, because my comedy's fairly non-threatening and definitely not angry, but I like to expose prejudices, and I get a lot of bogans coming up to the show just going, yeah, you're all right. Sometimes, I've had people, middle-aged people come up to me and say, I've treated some people in my family the wrong way, and you've changed the way I see.
Case Ra.
Yes, Hannah, I saw your show. Congratulations. It's a real cack.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but I wondered, with the lesbian content is kind of positioned, it's a little chunk, so to speak, and I think it's about a third of the way through. Did you actually think, you run the thread through the whole set, but did you think strategically about where am I going to place this and how much can I push it, and did those thoughts go through your mind? Because I noticed your audience was predominantly straight.
Yes. I think that goes along the line of my little bit lesbian stance. It's a big part of my life and who I am, but it's not all. So it's not going to be the ultimate experience of my show. But it comes pretty much in the centre of the show, and it's a very important part of my show. It was strategically placed to, really have, I think it's got its biggest impact in the middle of the show.
But I guess I'm asking, did you have to work it? Because I noticed there was a little bit of wiggling in the seats when you first kind of, came out, so to speak, in your act. And I wonder, in your experience, have you had to work it in that kind of, it's a pretty macho format, the comedy, stand-up comedy format, isn't it?
No, it's not been terribly conscious, I will be perfectly honest, because, it's so deeply personal, and that's kind of where my comedy comes from. And so I do concentrate on making it funny.
Well, it works. It works. You're okay. Don't worry about it. But I think it was Sue Ann Post who once said that she actually always got on quite well with bogans in the audience because they took one look at her and went, "Well, she smokes fags, she drinks beer, she likes chicks. Well, she's one of us, really."
Yeah, pretty much. I'm cut from a different cloth, I think.
You mean you're a non-smoker?
No, I smoke. I've just got all my teeth.
Hannah, it's Kathy here. Do you think that there's a danger in being typecast as a lesbian comedian? Because as Kay just said, only a chunk of your show is about being gay and your experience with your family and with your toys, sex toys and stuff, which is hilarious and does make people squirm and as laugh. But in terms of just being known as a queer comedian, are you conscious of that?
Well, the audiences who come and see my show are very broad. Like, I'm getting a really broad audience, which I really like, because, I kind of like the idea of being able to put these ideas out in a kind of non-threatening kind of, it's just the way it is kind of way. And I've been lucky where I'm accessible to a straight audience, yet I'm not alienating, the Jews.
The jelly babies.
But it's still the case, isn't it, that there aren't that many women in stand-up comedy? Do you think?
Well, there isn't, but there's more and more coming through. It's always going to be a slow process. As women sort of feel more comfortable about taking to the stage, and I've got my predecessors that have influenced me, and there's a great breadth of comedy coming through just in this festival alone of female comics. And I think that's courtesy of the groundwork done by the likes of Judith Lucy and Denise Scott and all these older female comics. And hopefully, seeing younger women on stage means that, more and more young girls will take to it, and eventually there will be a more equal stance, and it'll become more less male dominated. But it's never going to be a fast process. These types of things are never going to be fast. But you can see a definite improvement, particularly in the reception of female comics. I do get the odd people coming up going, "Yeah, I don't really like women comics, but you're pretty funny, hey." but by and large, it's becoming more acceptable. I'm not coming against the same obstacles that my older comics have gone through. So
Hannah, just on the subject of lesbian comedians, I know you were interviewed recently, and one of the questions thrown up was, why aren't there more lesbian comedians, and is it because we have more testosterone than other women?
Isn't that an absurd question?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, that must have been a real, really curly one when you first got it.
Well, it kind of wild me a bit, because it's making a few too many assumptions, because the first one being that there are a lot of lesbian comics, and, statistically, they're not. It's just, whenever there is one, it's made quite a big deal out of. So it becomes more prevalent, I guess. And the other one being that testosterone makes people funny, which is basically saying men are funnier than women, which, not true, I don't think. So it's kind of like, that's a bad question.
Yes, you're only funny because you're more like a man is kind of the subtext behind that, isn't it? Which is pretty insulting.
Well, you do have a member as you reveal in the show. It's just made of rubber.
Yeah, that's right. It's not that solid. I don't know what that means. Let's just move on.
Oh, it probably means you're getting older.
Probably. Yeah, I need a little blue pill.
And I guess, Hannah, as well, it's Kay here again, is it something that you will keep in your act, the whole kind of lesbian angle thing, or is it, I just wonder, how does it pan out? I mean, is it something that you can just continue to develop as a kind of an identity, or...
It is part of who I am, so, I'm always going to talk about my life and, talk about the ladies.
The ladies.
Is it a good pickup line? Do you actually sort of have you met any kind of
you got really groupies?
Heavy dates?
From I do. I'm getting groupies, and I'm finding it particularly disturbing.
Well, in your show, Hannah, you should share with our listeners. You've got a section on queer speed dating and a few tips on how to get how to crack the nut, so to speak, on that. You want to share that with us?
Well, I don't think I'm the one to ask, because clearly I didn't crack a nut. Well,
whatever the lesbian equivalent may be, yes. Crack an ovary.
I don't really don't know what possessed me, because, you know, I can't even talk fast, so why am I speed dating? But I actually like the idea of dating. I think it's, you know, unfortunately been outdated.
Yes, everyone just hooks up nowadays, don't they?
Yeah,
they don't date.
I like the idea of a date. Let's have dinner and a movie and actually chat. And then I can decide whether or not I like you instead of, you know, pashing you going, oh, that's awkward now. You know, because then you have a conversation going, oh, you're an idiot.
It's kind of difficult. Well, I guess before we let you go, we've got to let you do a little plug for your shows, don't we? You've got Kiss Me Quick Full of Jubes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, we're on at 8:30 at the Town Hall every night.
And another one called Lickety Split. What's that about?
I'm doing that with Monica Dollard, who's another queer comic. That's out at the Gasworks Theatres only tomorrow and Saturday night. I'm reading a story I wrote when I was 7 about my brother's imaginary friend.
Uh-huh. And you're also doing a tour of the National Gallery of Victoria at Fed Square, taking a leaf out of Kay Sarah's book.
Oh, I think on the con. I think the other way around, actually.
yeah, that's every Thursday. I've just finished that one, and I've got one more left next week. There might be a few matinees going on next weekend, but that's up in the air.
Well, it's good to hear that you're nice and busy.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It was worth coming over.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for your time, guys.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you very much. That was Hannah Gadsby there, as we say, who's doing 3 shows.
Highly recommended, I might add. I really enjoyed it.
Bloody funny. Oh, very hilarious. Funny.
You both seen the show?
Yeah. And it was one of those things, I felt obliged to go, because I thought, oh, well, you know, she's a lesbian stand-up comic, I really should go to this one. And I was so pleased I did. Mm. I really had a good night. I laughed. So.
Well, I saw her first at Girlfest in January. She was one of the headliners up there with Julie Morris, who was emceeing, and yeah, very funny. She's very unassuming. Mm. Yeah, a little bit awkward.
Yeah,
but
it's good
a good awkward. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not.
Works.
She's very very humble sort of comedian, but some things just come out of her mouth. And you just go, ooh.
Yeah, she's very low key, isn't she? I mean, if you look on YouTube, there's a couple of things of hers on YouTube, and she's very kind of. It's all very kind of very humble, I suppose, is the word. But that slips lots of things under your radar quite nicely.
Yeah, I think she's great.
And not too much swearing either. I have a real thing about comedians who drop the F-bomb every second word. I just think if you can't think of something more clever to say than
it's very blokey
those
as well.
Naughty words, then I think you're a bit of a hack comedian.
Oh, yes, and we don't want to be too blokey.
Sorry about that. I try not to use the C word too much.
Community.
Cake.
Cake. Conscience. Those nasty C words.
Well, before we go, we've got a couple of SMSs here I haven't managed to read out yet. One's for Kathy here. We were talking about rights for marriage and so on earlier on. Questions directed at Kathy. What if the question was equal rights for women, would women be satisfied with half equality?
Yeah, that was in response to me saying that maybe we shouldn't go for broke with gay marriage, that we should just, pitch for civil unions, a national civil union scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the person who sent that in. I would have to say that, women's rights took a bloody long time for us to get as well. So, you know, I don't think we can expect everything to happen overnight. But.
No. And for those of you who want to know what Floorball is all about, there is actually a website. It's www.vicfloorball.org. So if you want to know what floorball is all about, I have visions of people sort of bouncing around on space hoppers and things, or something like that, but I have no idea what it is. Anyway, that's where it is if you need to know. Well, that's it for another week. We're sorry we didn't get hold of Ben Cooper from Community Action Against Homophobia. We hope he rots in hell. But we did have Miss Kay Sarah, representing Miss Kay Sarah, and Malcolm Campbell from the Queer Sports Alliance, comedian Hannah Gadsby, Corey Erland from the Coalition for Equality, and my studio panel, Ron Thiel and Kathy Anderson. We will be running another Whole of the Rainbow Report program with Hank Yongan, the general manager of Centrelink, on April 26th to get a feedback on how this thing is progressing. There's already a lot of criticism around the fact that he's only running radio ads and magazine ads in the gay press and not writing to everybody who might be affected by it. That and various other issues we'll raise with him on April 26th. Do get in touch with us at Joy if you have questions you'd like to ask him. Big thanks to you for spending the time with us. The show was produced by Bianca Johnston, who's also been operating the panel tonight for the first time. So we have a panel virgin in the studio. And technical production overall has been overseen by Michael Baylis. And don't forget, you can find more stuff at the blog, rainbowreporter.com. I'm Doug Pollard, and I'll see you again next week with another edition of The Rainbow Report.
This has been a Joy 94.9 News and Current Affairs presentation.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.